recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Oh, it's live, pal.
For decades, companies like Mattel, Hasbro, Jazzwares, and others have given us just about every figure we ever wanted. But what about the titles? Well, this week's guest is Dan Turnquist. If you can dream it, Dan can make it, and he makes them great, guys. Want a belt for your Hasbros? No problem. Need a missing title for one of your Mattel Elites? No problem. Dan's got you covered. I'm excited for this one, and hopefully you are too. Dan's on the show, and I get to talk to him right now. Dan, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for taking the time to talk today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Big fan of what you're doing and a customer at this point. I always like to kind of just start out and find out where you were born and raised.
Yeah, I'm from Southern Illinois, which most people, when they hear Illinois, they assume like Chicago. No, I'm about closer to St. Louis, Indianapolis area. I'm right in between the trifecta of like Nashville, Tennessee, St. Louis, Missouri, and Indianapolis, Indiana. So I'm 6 hours south of Chicago. So don't hear Illinois and assume that I'm, you know, Chicago.
So were you born and raised in that area?
Yep. I was born here in Carbondale, and I've been lucky enough to go to college here and actually find a job here. So I know some people see that as a bad thing, but I don't know. I'm pretty happy with my life.
No, that's pretty cool. And that's a pretty happening area on all facets, not just, I mean, wrestling too, but there's a lot going on around there.
Yeah, actually, when I was a professional wrestler, I got to wrestle for the same company that became wrestling at the Chase, which is for Larry Zbyszko. So that was pretty cool.
So where did you actually discover wrestling then, or how did you first come across it, or what pulled you into this thing?
That's a good question. So probably, you know, I was a kid during the Attitude Era, and Stone Cold was, you know, red hot. So I have a lot of memories as a kid of like loving the New Age Outlaws and, you know, Stone Cold. I don't really remember a first like moment, you know, when I saw wrestling for the first time. I can remember a lot of pretend, you know, smashing soda cans and stuff. I've been a fan since like, let's say 98 is usually when I say, but I don't have like an exact moment of when I like loved wrestling, but I've been a fan since the Attitude Era.
Cool. And so from there, did you immediately start finding figures or getting into wrestling figures, or how did that part of it weave into the puzzle?
So I had a lot of, I'm really bad with like brands, but you know, like the rubber WWF figures that they had back in the day. I had a bunch of those, like their arms would move, but they're solid arms. You know what I'm talking about?
The LJNs.
They weren't as big as an LJN. They're smaller. I don't.
Maybe the Galoobs?
Possibly. Yeah. I still have a whole box full of those actually. But, so I had some of those, and I had the smaller, like a cage match set. And then I got into I got pretty big when I was in middle school into the like classic superstars line. I think that's what it is. The Shawn Michaels and Ted DiBiase and a lot of those. I had a bunch of those. And then I got out of the figure game for a long time until probably 3 years ago. Two or 3 years ago, I kind of started to get back into, guys, COVID's kind of made the world fall apart time-wise, but it's probably 2018. I only got into it because there was a guy I wrestled with, and he was always going to Target to look for these Chase figures. And one day I was like, dude, I'm gonna start looking. And we were looking for Pete Dunne. It was like Elite 65, I think. And there was a Chase Pete Dunne. And I found three of them in like a month, and I was hooked. I was like, I gotta keep looking for these. So then I ended up buying like every Elite I could find. And I pretty much have everything from like Elite 55 on to Elite. We're in like 90 right now. I feel like 89, 90, and 91 all hit my area at the same time. But I stopped collecting Elites in the mid 80s and moved on to collecting full time like AEW figures really hard. I only have one Chase, but other than that, I have everything that they've made. The only thing I'm missing all the Chases except I have the Chase MJF. But I'm real hard on the AEW figures. I really like the product, and I like their figures. I think they're really cool.
it's interesting you say that as avid as you are collecting those, that you've gotten one chase. I mean, I go to tons of Walmarts and Targets every day in my everyday life just because of the nature of my job. And I have never seen a Chase AEW figure, but I go online and some people post pictures where there's like eight Chases. Like, I think one guy just the other week had like four or five Sting Chase figures just hanging on his pegs.
Yep. So I lucked out and I actually found three MJF Chases. I don't know what happened. I hit two were at the same Walmart in my area, and then another one was at a Walmart about 30 minutes from that. I found them all the same day, and I kept one for myself, and I ended up giving the other. I sold one to a guy, and then I ended up giving another one away to a buddy. And I found a Chase Darby at one point, too, and I sold it because I'm not a Darby Allin fan.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Oh, wait, one of the week, guy found two Chase Stings. He beat me like 20 minutes to my target. He was walking around with them in his cart, and he was a scalper because he was looking at all the McFarlane stuff. That was pretty frustrating.
Oh, and you saw him?
Yeah, I asked him. I looked in his cart. He had a little cart with him, and I was like, are those Chases? And he was like, yeah. And he also had, you know, all the other, like, high-ticket items with him in his cart.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
It's frustrating.
You mentioned that you were wrestling. How did that come about? How did you get into actually wrestling?
So there was a guy from my area who he was pretty successful as a professional wrestler, as an indie wrestler. He had wrestled, you know, St. Louis area and stuff like that. He started about 5 years ago. He opened a professional wrestling school, and he was a friend of mine anyway. And I was like, I showed up one day. I was like, screw it. Let's see how it goes. And I had a pretty successful five-year-ish run. And yeah, I just kind of showed up with the thought process of, you know, maybe I'll be a manager or a referee or something, you know. And I ended up really liking professional wrestling. But at the same time, it's not something that you can – I don't know. It's hard to put your physical body on the line every day when you know that you have, like, a family to support and a real job and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it will give you a hard time on the independent scene if you're not, like, grinding on the road every weekend and stuff like that, because they kind of see it as, like, you're taking food out of their mouths because you're just, like, you know, wrestling one show a month or whatever. So I just kind of decided to bow out. I was like, I've lived a childhood dream. I've done enough. I can walk away. COVID hit at the same time, and I was like, I'm not really going to come back. And that's kind of where that went.
Yeah. So you went from living your dream to, we were talking about this earlier, kind of fulfilling other people's dreams, like yours truly, by making these belts that you're doing. Did you just immediately start doing that, or how did you find that niche and start working those?
So the belt thing is, it's an interesting story for sure. So I made my first ever belt. I didn't have the 3D printer that required that you, it's a special kind of printer you have to have. It's a resin printer for anybody who's interested. I was in FDM, which is the bigger stuff. It's like a layered plastic. FDM is a liquid plastic. So I did a lot of 3D printing in my profession and in my hobby. So I sat down one day and I modeled a belt that I was holding as an indie wrestler. And because that's my job, I do 3D modeling. So I 3D modeled the belt, and then I found a guy locally who could print it for me. And before I knew that, I was hooked myself making just local belts and stuff that I wanted, right? You know, for my collection. And this dude was like, he wasn't paying me a lot, but he could not keep up with the demand of what I was like making. So I said, screw it, I'm gonna buy my own printer. I'll figure this out. And then I bought my own printer, and I was making my own like little belts, and I kind of posted some of my customs in some Facebook groups. I have a Facebook account, but I don't use Facebook anymore. So I got mixed reviews back when I was using Facebook. I didn't use Instagram for anything like this. I think if you scroll back to the first few posts on my Instagram, it's like my dogs and some food and stuff. But, so I got mixed reviews from guys on, Facebook about my belts. They were like, yeah, that's cool. And then it took just took like one person to be like, hey, have you ever thought about making the NWA United States Championship? And I was like, never thought of it in my life. You want me to? And he was like, yeah, please. And I was like, okay. So I spent some time and I made that. And then he really liked it. He was happy with it. And then I was like, I need a TNT title. So I made the TNT title, and I made like four of them. And I tried to sell them, dude, and you'd have thought I was trying to sell people anthrax or something. They're like, I was like, $10 if anybody wants one of these TNT titles. And they're like, that thing's crap. I'm never buying it. And I was like, okay. So I kind of just went back to honing my craft and learning a little bit more. And then I got on Instagram and everything really started to flow. It's a lot better figure community on Instagram, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of am coming from the other direction, but I was mostly using the Bird app, and there's just seems to be so much snarky commenting and people infighting and clicking and all that. I just recently started using Instagram a little bit more, but I could see what you're saying as far as seems like a little bit healthier of an environment.
Yeah, and Twitter was one of those things too, where I just feel like Twitter's so hard to reach people. You almost have to have a more organic, like you can have a more organic growth on Instagram, in my opinion. Cause like I made a John Silver custom too. That was another thing. I made a John Silver custom and I made a custom BTE title to go with it. And he retweeted it. And it was like, that led to, you know, a follower or something. But on Instagram, if I post the BTE title, I'll get like 20 followers in a day. It's weird how that works.
Yeah, you're right. Twitter seems a lot more like people are concerned about making sure that they're holding off on following people as much as they're being followed. Like, I got to keep my numbers in check. Where, and if you're not followed by somebody, it almost makes it impossible to communicate with them. Where on Instagram, you can pretty much message anybody you want. And
yeah, I can put hashtag wrestling belt, and you know, a lot of people see that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Ring Sports has been the best help on for me to get Twitter followers and get stuff out. Because now he's posted some stuff people follow me based on him posting some of my belts. And then now it's a little bit better, but you pretty much are on Twitter basically reliant on that retweet.
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up Nate, because Ring Skirts, for anybody who's listening and doesn't know Nate, that's like top of your pile to go follow on all socials is Nate at Ring Skirts. The guy is such a legend in our little community and our hobby that we're doing here, as far as photography, as far as just his knowledge of wrestling is. And he's just the nicest guy. He puts people's stuff on blast for everybody to enjoy, and he's not worried about, you know, what about me kind of stuff at all. He's just one of the best guys that I've had the pleasure of meeting in the whole thing. And he goes back like to the wrestling figure boards that I was on, you know, all these years ago, and today here he is still going forward.
I didn't even know that. He messaged me one day on Instagram, just like everybody else, and I was like, he said, hey, can I get so-and-so? And I was like, yeah, man. And then his photos are so accurate. I was just telling him that the other day, like, it looks so real when you look at his photography. He does really, really good work, and it makes me really happy to see some of these dudes. Dude, they take these pictures of my work and I'm like, man, I sat there and stared at that on my table and thought it looked like crap for the last week, and then you take a picture of it, it looks immaculate. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's just got a mind for all the nuances of pro wrestling. Like, he made that Piper's Pit table in his wrestling room down there, and he's got, you know, an MSG microphone from the old school days. He thinks of these things that, like, I don't know anybody else who comes up with these ideas. And so to me, it's incredible when somebody has that kind of wouldn't it be cool if, but then it's almost like a whole nother set of skills. Like, it's not ending with the what if, I'm actually going to make it. And the guy never ends his, you know, he just floors me over and over with these ideas.
Yeah, and that's extremely, that's like I just got done making some of the Face of the Revolution ladder match rings, like the Wardlow, he won the ring last Sunday. I made a couple of those because I was like, this is literally how that went. I saw Wardlow, all the pictures, it's a big moment for him. I don't know if you're an AEW fan or not, but I was like, I need that. Like, I need that for my Wardlow display, you know? And then I made it and I just posted it on my, I was like, if anybody wants one, like, hit me up. It's $5 or whatever plus shipping. So it would be like $10 if anybody wants one. And I made a Cody throne at one point too, like the Throne Breaker throne.
Whoa.
And it was another thing I posted on Facebook, and people were like, dude, it's crap. But I bet if I posted it, I bet it gave it to a guy like Ring Skirts, he could take like top 10 photo of it ever. You know what I mean? But I can't take crap. I'm like, I got the worst photos ever.
Well, and as you've perfected your craft and you continue to get it, you know, improve on it, I bet you, as your popularity has grown and as more and more eyes have been on what you're doing, sometimes in the, it goes back to what we were talking about on social media, I notice is that if you haven't established yourself, people tend to just kind of pile on like, well, your stuff's garbage. And then when they start seeing other people like it, then it's like, well, me too. Yeah, I love your stuff. And I just encourage people, don't wait until the dude blows up, you know, jump on the bandwagon now.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm always trying to give dudes like credit who do other work and stuff like that. I'm, you know, there's so many dudes who do such incredible work, like painting custom figures and stuff like that. It's crazy compared to like, well, I suck at painting, man. That's like my number one thing. You should see how many belts I end up just throwing away because I mess them up. It's a lot. And it's because I'm really hard on myself. And there's sometimes where I'll show people stuff and I'm like, you know, do you want this? How's this look? Personally, probably, I don't know. I can always do it again. That's, I don't ever, ever want anybody to get something from me that they're not happy with. I want people to be open and honest. And I really only had, I can think of like two complaints. I've had some minor stuff and, you know, I've had some disagreements with some people, but I can think back to making a Helms custom title for a guy. And I just straight up was like, dude, I cannot give you what you want. So I ended up sending him the plates myself that I, for free, that I had painted. I might have charged him like, you know, shipping, but, and I was like, you paint them and tell me, you know, show me what you, how you want them to look. And he even told me like, man, you're right. This was really hard. And I made a custom LJN belt for a podcast and they told me they loved it and they told me everything. And then like, they were real cold after, they never posted it. And then finally, like 2 months later, they sent me a message. They're like, you really just can't see some of the stuff in our logo. And I'm like, well, your logo is a little detailed, dude. I don't know. Why didn't you tell me before I ever shipped it to you?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. Being grateful goes a long way, in my opinion. It'd be, I don't know where people end up thinking the best route is to do that sort of stuff, but that's the dark side of the hobby we're in. But I tend to focus on the positive side and guys like you and Nate and just, you know, Curb Stomp Customs and just Figure Kingdom, all these guys that are creating stuff and doing positive stuff. And
yeah, Figure King's great. It'd be cool to do some work with him. I'm a fan of his pictures and stuff like that. He's always doing really cool stuff. It'd be nice to make some belts for him.
Yeah, Manny's a great guy and super approachable. And yeah, definitely reach out and talk to Manny if you can.
I've been trying to do some more stuff. Like, I reached out to Showstopper Customs like last week and I got the cold shoulder. So I'm a big fan of his work. I don't know if you ever see him. He's,
yeah.
I was like, hey, dude, you ever need a belt for something or anything like that? It's more than worth it to me to give you a belt to put with some of your stuff. And I even messaged him and commented on one of his things, never heard anything back. So I was like, all right, well, that ship sailed.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Some people that I've messaged, I never know if they're just like not interested in what you have to say or if they're just that busy that, you know, there's some people I've sent DMs to, for example, where they've never even opened it. And I'm like, wow, you're either aware of who I am and don't want to talk to me, or you are that busy that you're not even looking at DMs.
Yeah, that's true. I try to respond to everybody. Even the, you get a lot in what I do, like 5-year-old kids who are like, hey man, or, you know, 10-year-olds, can you make my belt for free? Like, sorry, buddy. Like, I wish, but
yeah.
And you know, oh, cause like I do a lot of 2K designs. So people send me their custom belts off like WWE 2K and stuff like that. And I recreate them in figure form. And you get a lot of kids who are like, hey, can I get a free this or a free that? And I'm like, it's not really about money, but like, I already don't really make money when I sell a belt to somebody at the cost that I sell it. So I really can't take the time out of, you know, I'm doing a disservice to the other people who are waiting to pay to make, you know, a bunch of free belts. And I say that, you know, when I'm talking about giving some belts to certain people, that's like a you know, it's one thing if I'm going to give someone one belt and they're going to take a picture of it and they're going to, we're going to work something out in the future where they might need more. It's different to just
absolutely
go through a time to make a custom to give it to, you know, but
yeah,
customs are my favorite for sure. I know that it's important to give guys like the belts from, you know, the old days and different stuff like that, that really kind of adds that finishing touch to a collection. But like my favorite thing is when someone sends me a cool like pick fed belt. I've done a lot of like full sets for pick feds. Cause that makes your pick fed like even that much better. You have actual world champions that say, for instance, like Spam Pro Wrestling or whatever, you know, that, and I got another guy who has a pick fed WFCW. I think his dad will hand draw these belts, right? Amazing, beautiful details. He'll hand draw them and like paint them and stuff and send me pictures and then I'll digitally recreate them. And that's like,
whoa,
coolest feeling in the world.
Yeah. Who's his dad? Like Ron Rudat or something like that?
Yeah. Reggie Parks.
Yeah. Reggie Parks. Yeah. Wow. That's wild, man. I mean, that's the stuff that keeps me in this and keeps me so interested in it. And it's just hearing stories like that, like, you know, generational stories where you're bridging a dad and his son. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, exactly. And just like being able to bring someone's hand-drawn art to life like that. And then they get to hold it in their hands and it's a belt. Like I wish more than anything when I was in, you know, sixth grade, my buddies were hanging out with our paper plate world titles that someone would be able to make like a figure belt for it. That'd be the coolest thing ever.
It's come a long ways from just basically having the big green world title replicas on my LJN belts to like, if somebody can think of it, you can make it. That's so amazing.
Yeah, that's like Catchamania. He did the custom Brody Lee title when Brody Lee died. And I made that for my Brody Lee. And then a couple other people wanted it, obviously, for theirs. And then that inspired me to make a custom CM Punk TNT title. And that's one of those things that, you know, you can sit down and you can draw whatever you want and it'll end up, you know, you make it and then you got it on your collection and other people think it's cool. And that's, we do live in pretty good times. It's pretty neat that I can sit down, draw something on the computer and have it in like 3 hours in my hand.
3 hours, huh? From design to printed?
Depends. My new computer last year, because some of these belts get, like, I right now, literally as we speak, I'm working on the WWF tag titles, like the Eagle tag titles, the World tag titles. I think I've made them 5 times and I hated them every single time. So I keep going back and remaking them because they're some of my favorite belts too. I'm really hard on myself on the design portion too. But yeah, if I sit down and I draw a title, I usually will draw them either on paper or on my iPad, and then I sit down and I can make it on the computer. I can make one in about an hour, and a print usually takes about 2.5 hours. So,
okay. So what would be like your most requested belt, or what, is there one that like you just get pelted with all the time? Hey, can you make this for me?
For a while it was the NWA United States title on a black strap. I've only made it on a red strap one time. The blue NWA tag titles, I've made a ton of those. The United States Tag Team Championships, I've made a ton of those. I'm looking around. I don't know how familiar you are with the you know what else I made a ton of? The GCW World title.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good one.
Cool. I didn't think of the guy who designed that belt. I made the RSP belt first, the Ricky St. Paul. I hope he doesn't listen. The RSP GCW title, right? It's got like a buzzsaw on it and stuff. It was his custom title. And I made that for somebody and I posted it. And the guy who made it commented and he goes, wow, never thought I'd see my belt made like in figure form. Pretty cool. And I was like, holy crap, this dude made this belt. That's awesome. Hyperon Belts is his name. So I sent him a message and I'm like, hey, dude, if you want one, let me know. Like, I'll send you one for free. Like, thanks for being cool about it. Cause not everybody's cool about making your belts. And we can go
sure
road if you want. But he was really cool. And then he actually sent me the artwork. He goes, look, working on this new title. It's for Nick Gage. And it was like the one that Matt Cardona ended up winning and John Moxley ended up winning. I've made the hell out of that thing.
That's not really my my jam, but I definitely could tell that it is for the younger generation. I'm sure that there's a lot of kids that are not necessarily just kids, but a lot of younger people than I that are into that, I'm sure.
Basically, people in the figure community gravitate to whatever Matt Cardona's doing.
What about like a favorite belt? Is there any that you've made where you're like, man, I knocked this one out of the park, or just for sentimental reasons, it's your favorite?
So I recently made some, and I'm not trying to stay on this GCW train, but I made the, oh, you know, another really popular one is the NWA or the IWGP United States title. Extremely popular. And I think I do that pretty well. I think I do it justice. It's one of my favorite titles. But I just recently, I'll be posting these probably in the next few days, made the brand new GCW tag titles. And they have like all the flags of the world on them and all kinds of crazy little details. And I think I did pretty well.
Okay. I haven't seen those yet.
No, they're, I don't even think they've been on TV yet.
Okay. I saw your TNA tag team titles and you knocked those out of the park.
Those are some belts that I was a big like 2006 TNA guy. So those are some belts I was really happy to make. And those are pretty popular too. Just looking at my table right in front of me, I've got like the old ECW tag titles, the very first ECW tag titles. I think those are pretty good. I don't think my European title looks that great personally. But when that one I posted the other day got 700 and something likes, and I was like, wow, it's just a picture of the belt in my hand too.
Oh, really? And that one took off?
Yeah, it got like over 700 likes. So I do not understand how that works. Like what makes people gravitate, or what, it just kind of seems like I posted a picture, I did the Raw tag titles, I just posted a picture of them one time and it got 500 likes like in a day, and I was like, okay. And then one day I realized I hadn't posted it for a couple days, so I posted just like a picture I'd taken of a winged eagle and a TNT like Miro, 500 likes like overnight. I was like, gosh, how does this work? And then I'll post like a picture of a belt that I worked, you know, hours on. They tried real hard to take like a really good picture, 120 likes. I'm like, okay, well, I don't understand how this works at all.
Yeah, there is really no, or doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason for it. Sometimes what's popular, what's not popular. It's just one of those things that I guess if you could figure it out, how far ahead of the game would we be? But
yeah,
I'll see guys who make incredible stuff, whether it's customs or custom figures or shirts or belts or whatever it is, and I'm going like, there's no eyes on this guy. And then I'll see something else that's, in my opinion, doesn't look like the person put as much time or detail into, not that it's bad, but, and it's just off the radar, you know, with more eyes on it than the other guys. So I don't understand that myself.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I always try to give everybody support. Like so one of the things I do too is I'm so busy work, you know, making these belts. Cause usually like my daily schedule, I get up at 3:30 in the morning and then I have to be at work by 5 usually. And sometimes earlier, but I get home 4:30 or 5 every day. And then I try to work on belts for a couple hours and then also like see my family. But like, it's more important to me to make the belts than to take the pictures. You know what I mean? Like I'll take some crappy pictures just to send it to customers and to people. But I kind of put it on you guys, you know, to take the pictures, right? And not everybody's buying them for that. But in my opinion, I'm like, you're going to take a better picture than I am. You know, you've got the collection. You've got the figure. Right now I'm sitting here looking at my table and I have a Wardlow that's got the 2007 TNA World Championship on it. And I'm just like, it's on there so I could, you know, take a picture of it. And it's on there so I could, you know, make sure it fits and stays together and everything. But it'd look a lot cooler on a Sting or a Kurt Angle. And that's why I kind of put that off to the guys who have the custom figures and have the appropriate stuff. Because I don't have a Midnight Express to put, you know, my tag titles on or anything like that.
Sure. Well, I think you're doing it the right way. Matthew Goldberg or Figure Kingdom or Nate, all those guys and more. I mean, those are three guys that I've talked to on my podcast that do great figure photography. And I'm sure there's tons more out there. But yeah, leave that heavy lifting on the pictures to those guys.
Yeah, exactly. That's like their specialty. So I'll take some stuff just, you know, to get around, to get to whatever, to make sure it worked good. And because that's another thing I've learned. especially when you get into those older belts, there's so many different versions of everything. And you want to make sure you're doing the exact version for someone.
Yeah, so are there guys that hit you up and they're like, hey, I just noticed on the side plate you've got a wavy line that goes this way and it's really supposed to go this way? Like, are people
never,
getting down?
Never anything like that, but there is some people who are like, oh, hey, sizing wise and stuff, you think you could do this a little bigger? You think you could do this a little smaller? You think, oh, this is the 1999 version that was used in Madison Square Garden. Is there any way you can do the 1999 version that was actually used in April? Because unfortunately, some of those belts are like that. One of the funniest examples of that, though, was right when the IWGP V5 came out, the newer, like, kind of V-looking belt. I don't know if you're a New Japan guy, but Belts by Dan, you know who Belts by Dan is?
Yeah.
He made that belt, and I tweeted a picture of my version of it. And he was like, incredible, man, but the snap box is on the wrong side. And I was like, oh, dude. I was like, I didn't even think that mattered. I was like, so that was one of my first mess ups. Like, a lot of my first belts have the snaps all on the wrong side.
So did you just like immediately fix it and like edit your tweet or your post?
I was just like, it was a tweet. I was just like, oh, dude, you know, whatever. And it's cool. Actually, a few months later, he ended up following me on Instagram, and he DMs me pretty frequently. We kind of talk about belts.
Yeah, that's super cool, man, because Belts by Dan, most people that love wrestling belts know who he is, and now you're kind of like Belts by Dan also. Now, I won't say that because obviously that's like plagiarism or whatever.
Well, the NWA United States title, the red strap that looks like the country, actually.
Yeah.
And he commented on that. He was like, great work, man. And I like DM'd him. I was like, holy crap, dude. Like, you know, you're the man. And I was like, I almost named my belt figure belts Little Belts by Dan. But I didn't want him to sue me or something like that. And he was like, oh, that's really funny. And I'm in the process of working on a couple of his designs to send him right now, just because out of respect and stuff like that. And he's always really cool to me. He's like, good, you know, tells me where I can find. He's a great source also of what's accurate, because that's another thing. You get into some of these, you know, boots from Pakistan and stuff like that. They've got squiggly guys on the side instead of people fighting and stuff like that. And they're not accurate. And people will call you out on that very quickly.
Huh. That's interesting. I know there's, in his level, there's tons of those bootleg belts out there. And it's, yeah, there's one like WWF belt that I always see. It's like, I think it might be the Winged Eagle, where it looks like somebody like took a chisel and tried to take like a W logo and turn it into the WWF logo. And you can see there's like a gouge. It's hard to explain, but yeah, there's all kinds of weird stuff out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And I try to make my belts as accurate as I can. I've been lucky to do a lot of work with Hellfire Designs. I don't know if you ever see him. He does a lot of like digital renderings of these belts, and he works with Dan too. He's been really, really awesome to give me some references and stuff like that, which is always cool. But like, I have yet to really find anybody who's been downright like uncool in the figure community. And I guess I'm just lucky at this point. I have had a couple like negative comments, and I try not to dwell. Like, some people, you know, like, that looks like crap. But it was mostly in the Facebook days. Recently, everyone's usually pretty positive.
Yeah, dude, if anybody does do that, if anybody's nagging you out there, just let it run off your back like a duck, you know, just water off the duck's back, because you're doing great stuff. I placed my first order with you, and I got them all in, and I'm already, as you know, but I guess anybody who's listening, I've already compiled another list of belts that I'm going to be dropping in your queue here to do. And so anybody who hasn't seen Dan's stuff, get over there and check out his social media. The selection is seemingly endless. The detail, to me, it's funny for me to hear somebody complaining, because I'm looking at the belt, looking at them like, how in the heck does anybody take 3D printed resin and make it this detailed? It's incredible work on your part, and the pricing is way more than fair. I was expecting that to have to pay quite a bit more. So definitely recommend that for anybody.
They're priced the way they are. And I go live on my Instagram a lot just to kind of talk to people. I usually don't get that many guys, but it's one of those more things of like a stress relief just to kind of talk and see what's up. But like the belts are priced the way they are because it's basically cost. And if you put time in it, it's a lot under cost. But it's, I'm doing it truly to give back. Like, I'm not trying to sound cheesy or phony or anything like that, but I have a skill. I've been in the position where I really wanted some of these belts. And like, I know there are guys out there that are like me that have way nicer collections than I do, that I'm more of a mock guy. So a lot of these belts, I have to open figures and like that, like, you know, pains me in my core just to open them, to take pictures and stuff like that. But like, it's so awesome to hear how much it means to people. And I'm like, dude, if I can help someone do that, like, I have to do it almost. I feel like I feel compelled to give back, like I can. And so, you know, I charge in the realm of $15 to $30 for, depending on custom, whatever. That's like, that includes shipping in the US too. So when you think about that, shipping's anywhere from, you know, $3.50, $4, the shipper's a dollar. And then I've got my, you know, labels that I put in there, and then a pack of labels, that's another $2. Resins, you know, $20 for a jug that gets you a few belts, and then the faux leather, those little snaps. Like, when you get down to it, I'm not really making money, and that's not the intention, because I'm lucky enough, it kind of pays for itself, and that's the goal. But like, I've been a very, very lucky man to be fortunate in my life and been, you know, handed a lot of great opportunities. So I'm not out here trying to make a buck off people. And there's days where I look at some of my belts, I'm like, man, these things aren't even worth $15. Like, I'm shocked as many people want them.
Oh, I definitely think they are. And growing up with multiple lines of wrestling figures that either didn't have belts and you had to use your imagination, or they just had, like, you know, every belt in the line was pretty much the same as the other. Like we were mentioning with the LJNs, it's a dream come true, man. And your belts are spot on. The details are amazing. I don't know how you get some of those, you know, just, you know, you just look at like the word world on one of the belts and you're like, I don't know how the guy colors that accurately and makes it all work out. But
which belt did you get for me? I'm trying to remember.
I know the first round I got the NWA world tags as well as the US tags and the US title. I went and backfilled a lot of those, the AWA tag titles, which are amazing.
Yeah, those were the first ones I'd ever made of those.
Yeah, those are incredible. And and especially with Scott Hall's recently passing away, I'm really looking forward to having a AWA custom version of him with Kurt Hennig to put those belts on. So that kind of stuff, you can't get from the store. You can't get that online. It's, oh, I guess it's online through you, but you know what I'm saying? You're doing something that's really special, in my opinion.
And that's another, when you say getting them online, I get a lot of people who are like, hey, man, you got an eBay link? Or like, hey, man, you got Bakari or like Etsy? I'm like, honestly, if you really wanted me to sell you stuff through eBay or Mercari or whatever, we could. But I'm going to have to charge you like another $10 because all of those websites put a fee on top of stuff. So like,
yep.
Instead of doing that, we can just handle it between you and me. I give you all the tracking, and you know what I mean? Like, I got a guy right now who has probably $150 worth of belts. It's like 25 belts, and they've been stuck in shipping since February 28th. And he didn't pay me. Like, I'm big on that too. Like, I'll just ship stuff without even telling guys. I'll send them pictures. They say it's good, and I'll like send them tracking. And they're like, I didn't pay you yet. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Pay me then if you want. Like, I'm not that worried about it. And I do stuff like that because you never know. I've never had a package get lost, but I am in the process right now where I have two that I'm kind of worried about. And I've already just started remaking those dudes' orders because it may not be my fault that they're lost, but at the same time, it's not their fault.
Yeah, gets a little dicey. So are you still out? You said you were collecting the AEW figures majorly now. One of the things that I like to do on my podcast is ask my guests what they found either out in the wild at Target or Walmart or on Amazon. What have you found in the last week or two?
So I take my lunch break almost every single day to go to my local Target. I was there today, I didn't see anything. Recently I picked up everything from AEW Unmatched Series 2. I got a Brody Lee in the mail, the normal AEW Unmatched Series 3 Brody Lee. And I picked up the Elite Kevin Owens. Is it 90 or 91, the newest one? It's got like the yellow-blue shirt. I found those. I collect some NECA figs too and some Pops, Funko Pops. My fiance has a bigger Funko Pop collection than I do, though. She's got a big Marvel Legends and Funko Pop collection. It's pretty cool. Our house, when you walk in, there's just two walls on each side of like the living area in the middle. One's all wrestling figures and the other side's all Funko Pops and Marvel Legends.
Oh, that's cool. Anything else out there, or was that, you said you go every day, have you found anything else?
No, my Target has had, it's loaded full of Unmatched Series 2, and my Walmart has like seven AEW Series 5 Frankie Kazarians. So I did find like six of that Chase. It's not the Chase Sting, but they kind of are marketing it, the Luminaries Sting. I don't know how familiar you are with that, but I found a few of those. I have one. I don't buy a bunch. I don't resell for the most part. If I'm selling anything, it's because it's something that I have had in my collection I don't want. That's about all that I've seen recently. I gotta be one of these dudes who knows like Target stock day and stock time and all that stuff. I'm not. I just go over there on my lunch break and see what I can find.
Sure.
I'm looking for the Dark Order.
Do you have any new projects that are coming up or anything exciting, special orders or anything you're working on you want to put out into the universe?
So I have a Discord. I don't know if you go to my Instagram, and I can put it on my Twitter too. I have a Discord page, which I kind of use as more of like more of the serious guys get on there, guys who buy a lot from me and buy frequently. I post a lot of updates, that stuff that just doesn't seem appropriate to post on the Instagram or Twitter, like struggles or failures. And then there's a section on there where people can request belts they'd like to see. And then also there's a section on there of stuff that's like, because sometimes, say if someone hits me up for a belt, I'll just make three of them, hoping that someone else will buy them. And then so if something sits on the counter for a while that no one wants, I've got a section on there that's pretty new, where I've kind of put some in-stock stuff that can kind of go quickly. But I've been working on the All Japan Triple Crown for, I want to say, like 5 months. Are you familiar with the All Japan Triple Crown belts?
I've seen some of them. I've never really been a follower of All Japan or any of those leagues, but
I'm the same way. But let me tell you something. These belts are asked for all the time, and I see why. So it's, if you're the champion, you have three belts. There's like the NWA United, the NWA something else. I can't think. I have them around here. I made all of the plates, but they're six plates. So there's three sides on each side, and they have chains between each other.
Oh.
So I have real chain. And these, of course, they can't just be normal straps. They have, one of them's got like a red dot in the center, and then one of them's got like some red lacing around the sides. So I've been working on these off and on for a good long while, but they actually have real small chains between the plates. And I'm trying to make them as accurately as I possibly can. And when I do make them, it's going to be a pretty small batch. But that's something that's like an ongoing project that I kind of just pick a day out of the week where I come home and I'm like, all right, putting everybody else's stuff aside, we're going to try to figure out these All Japan belts. Because people are always like, hey, man, have you made the Triple Crown? Are you going to work on the Triple Crown? And I'm like, I'm gonna. But it's you want to come over here and tie gold wires with me? Like, it's not fun.
Yeah, it's almost second to building an elimination chamber or something like that.
Yeah, that some of those dudes do some incredible work on stuff like that. I would love to get into more. I would love to branch out, right, and do more things. Unfortunately, anytime you talk to someone about, I think I had talked to Ring Skirts about doing some set pieces and stuff like that. Like, that's totally up my alley. I have a large format printer also, so I can do. I had a friend back in the day who really wanted me to make like the SmackDown fist, and I was like, dude, let's do it. Like, that sounds awesome. I made a Malachi Black skull mask when he debuted too, and made a couple of those, but I ended up not rolling with it. But I'm open to anything. I had a guy ask me a few months back about making some like Power Rangers gliders or something. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'll make anything. Like, if I can. I'm not great at heads. I've made a couple. It's one of those things that would need time invested to get better at. But like, I'm open. Send me a message. Send me a picture. You know, like I can see. I can try to do. I can work with what. But
that's sure
how that goes.
Dan, it's been a blast, and I could probably talk to you for another hour, but I try to be respectful of people's time. Where can people find you on social media if they're not familiar with you? What's the best way to get in touch with you to get some belts?
So the best way is to check the Instagram, right? My Instagram is at Dan_Turnquist, T-U-R-N-Q-U-I-S-T. I'm sure that'll be on here, but that's where you can see I got some pinned posts on how to do stuff. I've got an email. It's turnquistfigbelts@gmail.com. That's like where you can send an inquiry on, you know, hey, can I get the so-and-so belts? And then I usually get back to you and we work some stuff out from there. Twitter, I want to say my Twitter's at TheRedDaniels. That was my wrestling name. I'm bad at remembering all my socials, but those are the three places that you can get a hold of me. And that's the best way to, and also bear with me if I don't respond to your email right in time. If I look in the email right now, I launched the email service like a month ago, just as a way to try to funnel everything into one location. And I think I already have like 120 emails. So the world it's a good time. You know, every day I wish I could teach someone else to like help me and we could sit here and just make belts for people, but that's not how it goes. I'm trying to help everybody out. I will work with you on your requests. Also, this might sound harsh, but like I will drop you quickly too. If someone gets, you know, I've had some people who like get kind of crappy with me over stuff and, you know, hey, I've been waiting, blah, 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 or I've been doing this. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess you're going to wait forever now. And then I'll just be like, throw your belts in the garbage. I don't do that to be rude, but I mean, like I do that to be like, there's enough people who have a really good attitude.
Yeah,
keep working, you know what I mean? Like I'm for the sourpusses who are like, I want my belt right now, and I'm like, okay, so do the people who hit me up 6 months ago. Like that's how long like people are waiting right now. I'm sorry, I'm one man.
Yeah, and that's a big no-no. I mean, even if you didn't have any orders, you don't go to a street artist and tell them to paint you and then telling them hurry up and make it faster. You're not doing it. Like this is art, guys. So if you're able to get a hold of Dan and make an order, you know, just know that he's an artist and he's making something that my generation didn't even have. So consider ourselves lucky, right?
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately it's been, you know, I had COVID a few months back and then I had my father-in-law, he has cancer. He'd have a lung removed. My dad had knee surgery. Like life happens, people. Like, I'm sorry. I tried to work, you know, with stuff like that. And I try to let guys know too, if they actually have a time constraint, like let me know and I will try to work to that. But most people are really cool about, hey man, you know, just whatever. Cause if I were to tell you right now, what's like an average lead time, it could be a month, 2 months. Mostly it depends on the belt. Like, or that's another thing with orders. I try to limit orders, especially your very first order. I prefer you just buy one. I know that that's not reasonable. I know that's not what we did, but like, I really don't like people to buy more than five for two reasons. One, I would hate that you get five belts that you paid whatever for that you hate. And it helps to keep the line moving when I'm not spending, you know, one whole week on one order. Instead, I can work on, you know, I can make two belts, and then I can get five people satisfied and we can keep things flowing a little bit better that way.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds reasonable. Dan, like I said earlier, I'm a big fan of what you're doing. I hope you're able to keep it going. And I encourage anybody who's listening to this podcast to go out there and check his belts out, because I guarantee you there's going to be at least one belt you're going to want. And for me, there's dozens, but not everyone's a maniac like I am. But
and I'm open to making any belt too, there, except for current WWE stuff for the most part. If you send me a belt, I don't care if it was a local indie belt. I don't care if it's a belt you made on 2K, whatever, send it to me and I'm open to making it. Those are the real obscure stuff's my favorite. So
Dan, thank you so much for your time, man. It's been a pleasure to have you on here. And my final kind of tradition I do on the show is I'm going to ask you to pick a wrestling theme of any promotion, any wrestler, and we'll play that on our way out.
I'm so unprepared. Give me CM Punk, Cult of Personality.
You got it, man. Thanks again, Dan. Appreciate it. And we'll be doing business with you soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And thanks, everybody. Please consider my belts for your collection.
Before I get out of here, I want to say a big thank you to Dan Turnquist for coming on, talking about his belts, and just getting the word out there. Positive dude, doing good stuff. Let's be honest, this guy could be making a ton of money doing this, but he's doing it for the love of the game mostly, and I think that's admirable. I'd also like to give some hey yo's.
Hey yo!
Changing it up from the shout outs to the hey yo's. So hey yo to my good friend Drew Vinsel. Got a great show with his wife, Caitlin Vinsel. Tales from the Estate. It's a staple in my rotation every week. Drew's hilarious. Him and his wife just play off each other effortlessly, and it's authentic and pure and everything a podcast should be. And if you're not listening to them, I highly recommend you go over there, congratulate them on their new twins. They're already getting old enough where I got to check in and see if they got jobs. Cole and Rocco, welcome to the world. I've been off the air and wanting to say it for a while, but congratulations to the Venzel family. Just awesome people, and I love their podcast. If I knew them or not, that's just an added benefit, is being friends with one of the coolest guys on planet Earth. Okay, guys, so I've said this for weeks now, and honestly, it's crazy to me that I hear people talking bad about the Collectors Helping Collectors movement. Just some of the best dudes out there. Good brother Mike turned me on to them. And since my last episode, I got some help from Pop Culture Junkie. Really great guy. Pop Culture Junkie 2 on Twitter is his handle. And he's also got a YouTube channel. Highly recommend you check him out. Pop Culture Junkie. He covers all things pop culture, collectibles, wrestling, toys of all kinds, video games. Just a great guy, and go over there and support him and pay it forward. He was willing to run me down an AEW Sting Allen, as I like to call him, half Sting, half Darby Allen figure, which I had never saw in the stores, never saw the regular Sting either. And because of Collectors Helping Collectors, a collector like myself is able to get the figure he wants without paying, you know, 50, 60 bucks. So thank you to Pop Culture Junkie. Get over there and support him, guys. I also wanted to take a moment to say that I tuned in for In the Marbles, Ethan and Soda Hunter's first episode of their NASCAR podcast. And NASCAR is not everybody's cup of tea, but these guys do an awesome job. If you're even remotely interested in NASCAR, I highly recommend you get over there and check it out. But even if you're not per se a NASCAR fan, I don't follow the sport closely, but it was a great listen, and their passion for the sport and their knowledge kind of draws you in and makes you a little curious. So it was an awesome listen. I thought they did a great job for their first episode, and if you get a chance, check out In the Marbles. Gotta say hey yo.
Hey yo.
To Breaker and Bane. Breaker and Bane's Power Hour, another staple in my rotation. Love listening to these guys each and every week, and you should too. As well as Breaker and Travis Fowler's TB Toycast, and Breaker's You Know It's Fake Right, where if you go back a few episodes, you'll find yours truly as his guest. And if you go back an episode or two on this, you'll find Breaker as my guest. So great guys over there, Breaker, Bane, and Fowler. And yeah, Bill Benis too. So check out those guys. And check out No Holds Barred with Bill Benis. Bill and I have some catching up to do, and he's in his off season for his podcast, and I think we're going to have to make that happen here sooner than later. Hey yo.
Hey yo.
To my buddies, the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast. They started the game, they continue to run it, and don't forget to check out Scott's side project, Drunk Wrestling History, for some good times. Hey yo to my buddy Dylan.
Hey yo.
Over at the Wrestling Figure Database. If you're not checking out that website, I say it every week, why not? They've got every single wrestler ever made, and the searchability is insane on there. If you're looking for figures, you want to know what you still need in your collection or what's available that you might not have, it's all there. Dylan's done an amazing job on that site, and get over there and support him. They got some awesome stuff coming our way each and every day, and check them out and support them. I gotta say hey yo to all my friends.
Hey yo!
In wrestling figure collecting, Adam Baum, Cella Toys, Junk Shop Dog, my good pal Nate, aka Ring Skirts, who just continues to motivate me to keep going with wrestling figures every time I talk to him. Figure Kingdom, Custom Toy Rings, Warren Warsman, Custom Heads, Grenville, aka Hasbook, Kyle Peterson, Dobro, Jason Wolf, Nick Haddix, Steve Hoker, Matthew Goldberg, Rad Chad, Ralphie Vibes, GBM, aka The Fig Hunter, Proving Grounds, Curb Stomp Customs, and M&M Figure Clothing. Thank you to all you guys. Thank you to everybody who listens to this podcast, who supports it, who reaches out and interacts with me in the DMs, on social media, in email, through text, through phone calls. It's meant a lot to me to have such cool connections, and I met pretty much everybody through this medium. So I just want to say thank you to everybody. It means a lot to me. And on that note, I will slide on out of here. Before I go, just wanted to encourage everybody to do something kind for somebody for no reason at all, just because you can, and you'll feel better for it. I know I do every time I do it, and I can't encourage you enough to do it and put a smile on somebody's face. We got some exciting things going on. Got a pretty big giveaway that I'm excited to announce, so make sure you're listening in. That'll be coming up on social media or maybe on my next episode. But that's it from you guys. I'm gonna run. Until then, be safe, take care of yourselves, and I hope you'll join me next time right here on Pulling Up a Chair. Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at achairshot. That's A-C-H-A-I-R-S-H-O-T. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website, or email them to me directly at achairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes everything.
And a friend in need is a pest.